Hello, wild things. This is the interview you've been waiting for, the one you've been asking about and thinking about and fantasizing about. We're finally going to get into the morphology of Bigfoot hair. Just kidding. We're going to talk about Bigfoot erotica, Sasquatch sex, cryptozoological couplings. If there are children in the room, or if you feel squeamish about this topic, I would suggest skipping this episode entirely. I'll give you a couple of seconds to decide. Are you back? Okay, great. Meet Virginia Wade. She's a New York Times and USA Today best-selling author of erotica and erotic romance, and the creator of the Come for Bigfoot series. We met in a small glassed-in conference room at the public library in Parker, Colorado. And my God, if those nice librarians had known what we were talking about, but they'd never suspect. Because Virginia looks like a very nice housewife, like someone you'd know from the PTA. And you'd never pick her out either, especially since Virginia Wade is not her real name.
And that's a tennis player's name. But I didn't bother to Google it when I chose the pen name. And then I found out later that it's a British tennis player's name. Whenever you like Google it, I'll come up and then she'll come up and it's like, and then my book titles will come up. And it's like, oh dear, you know, I really should have done a little bit of a Google check.
How many people know your true identity?
Not very many. Some people on a writer's forum that I'm on. I don't cross-pollinate different pen names either. Like, I have other pen names besides Virginia Wade, but I don't cross-pollinate them.
So each one is its own persona.
Yeah, because they're different genres. Like, the Christian fiction is not going to go very well with Come for Bigfoot. It's not going to go over.
I totally love that you're writing Christian fiction, too.
All sorts of things, like sweet westerns and some science fiction stuff. And then some, I just did a couple of novels under this kind of Clan of the Cave Bear genre-ish, ancient caveman romances and stuff like that. I don't know. Whatever crazy idea I have, I go for it. And then a lot of times I need a new pen name for it. So
at what point did you decide to use a pen name? When you decided to do the erotica?
Yeah, just specifically for erotica. Way back in 2011 was when I started her. And I think it was lurking around the Kindle boards, which is this writing community. They had some erotica writers on there that would come in and post every once in a while. And they would talk about, you know, how much fun it was and how easy it was. And they were making a lot of money. And da-da-da. And I thought, God, you know, and I'd been slogging away at this novel. And I really didn't know anything about erotica except for... my husband had some penthouse letter books. I found them in the closet, hidden up on top. And I, as for research, you know, I went through and I was reading those and I thought, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. That's how I'm supposed to write these stories. Really, really raunchy and disgusting. I had no idea. You know, I didn't even know who read erotica. I didn't have any clue. So the earlier stuff I published was pretty filthy, I must say. I
did read the first volume of Come for Bigfoot. My husband and I were actually reading it to each other in bed, and we were like, wow, this is intense.
Yeah, I think that turned out, I think I reread it a while ago, and I was kind of shocked. I was like, God, that turned out a lot darker than I thought, and a lot more disturbing than I thought. But that was, yeah, I even admit that was a disturbing story. And as those books go along, I think they become a little less disturbing. They kind of calm down a little, although there's still a ton of sex. Yeah.
You got your sea legs under you, so to speak.
Then it started off more like paranormal, horror, creepy, gross. And then it kind of goes into more because... family and love relationships and, you know, because I wrote like 16 of them. So they evolve, I guess it evolved.
You wrote 16 of them?
Short stories, yeah.
Are you done writing them? Are you still writing about Bigfoot?
I'm done writing the Bigfoot ones, although I did do Namaste with Sasquatch recently, a couple of months ago. It's a couple of stories set in the Colorado, in the Rocky Mountains, about a yoga retreat and the girls stumbling across, you know, a Bigfoot. There wasn't as much yoga, though. It was more, it was a little more sex than yoga, I guess.
But you didn't start with Bigfoot erotica, right?
I wrote a few books under my real name, which I now kind of regret. I kind of wish I hadn't, but I didn't know anything about publishing when I got into it. And I made every mistake you could possibly make. But Virginia was like my first pen name. And then when it became really popular and the book started selling like crazy and Amazon had a big crackdown on erotica. It had several crackdowns on erotica, and it continues to suppress erotica. I guess that's a nice way of saying it. And then I kind of saw the writing on the wall for that pen name with regards to Amazon. And then I came up with my inspirational fiction pen name. But I still occasionally write under Virginia, like maybe once a year, every other year. I go back and throw a couple of books on her. You know, occasionally people will ask me, when are you going to finish, you know, the Bigfoot series? Because I guess even after 16 short stories, it's not finished. One person on Twitter always reminds me that, oh, I left this hanging and I left this hanging. And when are you going to wrap this up? And da da da. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't even remember this story anymore. If I had to write another one, I would have to go back and probably reread, I don't know, at least the last three stories just to figure out what the heck was happening. Because so many different characters came in and there were different dramas. And, you know, after 16 installments, you know, a lot of water was under the bridge. A lot of stuff happened in those books. So
what brought you to Bigfoot in the first place?
I had been trying to get some traction in erotica during that time in the later part of 2011, I think it was. And all these daddy books came out. Everybody was writing these pseudo incest stories. And I tried a couple of those and I was just like, I was never good at them for some reason. Nobody wanted to buy mine. And I wrote like a filthy Jane Austen series. You know, I took some of her books, like instead of Pride and Prejudice, it was Pride and Penetration. And, you know, I mean, I did my own retelling of The Phantom of the Opera a little bit. And I was floundering around and my other author friends were doing really well and they were making a lot of money and they were selling a lot of books. And my daughter just went to college, and I remember looking at the possibilities, thinking, why aren't my sales better? You know, what can I do? And I thought, I need to come up with something crazy. And then one night, you know, it just popped into my head. I was sitting there watching TV, and it kind of went, what if I wrote about some girls being kidnapped by Bigfoot, you know? And then I just started laughing because I thought it was the most ridiculous thing. And then after I laughed about it, I kind of knew. I was like, oh, this is so crazy. I got to do it, you know.
Did you float that idea past anyone or did you just go for it?
I'm going to do this. And I did a little bit of research, Wikipedia research. And then I just thought, okay, you know, when I had a character cheat sheet and basic storyline, and like the first book is a cliffhanger, you know, where the girls escape and you think, you know, they've escaped or they think they've escaped until all of a sudden here's more Bigfoot, you know, there's more than one Bigfoot in these woods. And then I immediately started writing the second story, and then I had another idea for the third story. So I was only going to do three stories. And then I guess somebody found him, this man named Nick Redfern came across him somehow, and he emailed me in saying that he was going to blog about it or that he put me on his blog and that I might see some increased sales. And I did a little bit. You know, in the beginning, it was just like a little trickle and then another little trickle, another little trickle. And Nick Redfern, he also writes for Penthouse Magazine. And I think he's like a cryptozoologist or something like that. I had no idea. You know, I didn't even know what that was. I had to look it up. And then I think a group of women on Goodreads, they had gotten a hold of my silly books. And unbeknownst to me, I had no idea. I didn't even find out about that for like a year or two later. But they were joking. You know, it was in a group where they were like, hey, have you read this? You got to read this. This is really crazy. You got to read this. And then they were writing these reviews, these really funny, biting, you know, sarcastic, funny reviews. And I've read some of them and they're just, oh my God, they're hilarious. So other people did my marketing for me because I had no idea how to market myself.
And yet this ended up being really successful for you.
It just slowly started in 2012. That was when the beginning of 2012, it started to snowball and the more they sold, the more I thought, okay, you know, I'll write another one and I'll write another one. And then the people on my forum are like, what are you doing now? And I'm like, I'm writing another Bigfoot. And like, another one? Oh my God. You know, because the sales were good. And it's like, you know, you get a jump when the going is good, you got to get in there. And I just kept punching them out and I was running out of ideas and I was getting tired of writing monster sex because, you know, how many more ways can I describe a threesome and how many more ways can I, you know, make this scene interesting because I've already written it five times before. So, yeah, I had to keep pulling out ideas and then it just, in 2012, the first 6 months, it was amazing. It was like just lots and lots of consistent, strong sales. And then through the summer, it was consistent, strong sales. And then I think it finally, Amazon noticed. They were like, oh, you know, this is not good. You know, we need to put the kibosh on this. I assume that's what they thought. And I assume that's what they did. Because when August turned to September, like immediately, as soon as it flipped over, like to the 1st of September, you know, it was sales just plummeted. And it was like they had been consistently high. And when something like that just plummets like that, you know, that's not really natural. Because usually the natural way is to slowly go up. You know, you hover for a while, you dun, 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 and then you slowly come down. But this just went, it just bombed. And that's when I kind of, and then they started filtering and blocking erotica and they started hitting a lot of other authors. I mean, everybody who was writing erotica got hammered. And that, and then in the spring of 2013, I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I gotta move on. I gotta do something different. I've got a kid in college, you know, I gotta pay her tuition. And Bigfoot is not working anymore. So that's when I switched over to another pen name.
So at its height, do you have a sense of how many copies you sold of your Bigfoot books?
I think we did add it up at one point. I think in 2012, something like that. Within that year, it was like well over 100,000. And those were sales. And sales are nice because nowadays Amazon has this Kindle Unlimited and it's a subscription service. So, yeah, usually the content providers don't do as well.
Over 100,000. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I'm very thankful for Bigfoot. Bigfoot has put my kid through college for 2 years and paid for a lot of fun stuff. And
I did see some statistic that said at one point you were making over $20,000 a month.
With, I think the best month I had for Bigfoot was like $22,000 or something like that. But I actually did a little bit better in my Sweet Romance pen name when that was at its height. And that was just blow your mind away money, you know.
And because it got so big, it kind of became a family business.
It did. Yeah. My husband, you know, takes care of all the formatting, the making of covers, the uploading and all that technical stuff. My dad would do the editing, which is slightly disturbing. But, you know, he's an English instructor and he's like, you know, just send me your books. And I'm like, Dad, you don't want to read this, you know. You don't want to read this. And he's like, I'll read it. Just send it to me. It's all right. So I sent him an awful lot of Awful lot of Bigfoot sex. So, I don't know.
Wow. Did he ever make any comments?
No. He was very diplomatic about it. You know, businesslike. You know, just looking for those typos and, you know, fixing the punctuation.
Why do you think this ended up being such a success, such a popular genre?
I think the timing and sheer luck and just when I published, because it was easier to be seen. There weren't as many ebooks out there. The crazy idea and maybe the cover too. I found some great stock photos, you know, the girl in the woods. It just conjures up, you know, kind of paranormal, scary, and what's going to happen to her. You know, the capture fantasy thing, the bit of naughty, bit of like, you know, what are these girls going to do after they're kidnapped and what happens to them? And it just opened the door to all sorts of filthy possibilities too, with the Bigfoot sex, you know, especially when their anatomy is like a foot long, you know. And, you know, and then I had a lot of fun with the anatomy part. You know, I thought, oh, my God, you know, and I look back at some of the stuff I wrote and I'm like, oh, my God, like the end was like a tennis ball. You know, I'm like, how did I write that? I mean, ouch. You know, how is that going to work? But, you know, it's all fantasy. I mean, I've never met a Bigfoot, so I don't know for sure if, you know, they've got really long penises. I have no idea.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you that either. I've yet to meet one myself.
Maybe that's part of the fantasy. It's like, what if, you know, you do go camping one day and the next thing you know, somebody bangs you up the head and throws you over their shoulder and you find yourself in a Bigfoot tribe, you know, with horny Bigfoots.
So now this is the most important question I will ask. Do you think the Bigfoot is real?
I don't know. I mean, people have seen footprints, you know, there's that Bigfoot video of this hairy thing walking in the woods. I wouldn't say it isn't real. You know, I wouldn't 100% say, yes, it exists. I'd like to leave the possibility open, the door open. You know, it's just like when they ask, you know, do you think aliens are real? It's like, you know, I don't know for sure, but I wouldn't say definitely one way or another, because I like the fantasy. I like thinking, well, maybe it is real, you know, and every once in a while when we go to the mountains, you know, I look around and I go, God, wouldn't that be weird if Leonard just stepped out of the woods, you know?
Leonard is one of the several Bigfoots, Big Feet, to make an appearance in Virginia Wade's series, Come for Bigfoot. If you'd like to find out more, well, Google is your friend on this one. Maybe use an incognito window. And you can follow Virginia Wade on Twitter, at Virginia Erotica. You can follow us too, although we're a little less risque, at Wild Thing Pod. And for more about Wild Thing, check out our website, wildthingpodcast.com.